The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the Updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Join the Voice of the Cape online for Lacheliki. It promises to be loads of laughter, fun and song with comedians Marnie Davids, the hilarious Nick Rabinovitz and the incredibly funny Waffles and Mo. You will also be entertained by two choirs singing traditional Hollandse liedjies. The show will be live on Cricket on Saturday, 12th of December at 8 p.m. Tickets only 75 Rand. Book your ticket at www.cricket.co.za for the Voice of the Cape's Lacheliki online show. Just gone 7 minutes past 8. Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and, of course, chat to the past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh. My take tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking cricket tonight. My guest is the former Transvaal and Western Province all-rounder Siraj Gabriels. But before I chat to Siraj, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. Four games in the Premier League today. Crystal Palace, well, they thrashed West Brom 5-1. Leicester City beat Sheffield United 2-1. Tottenham Hotspur currently taking on Arsenal. It's 2-0 into that game. 80 minutes gone. Spurs leading that one 2-0. Liverpool take on Wolves in the late game at Anfield. That match gets underway at a 9:15. Stellenbosch was in action in the DStv Premiership. Good win for them. They beat TS Galaxy 1-0 there. Now, the first ODI between South Africa and England in Paarl today was cancelled. The decision was taken because two hotel staff members tested positive for COVID-19 as a precaution. The players and management also had additional tests with two members of England's party returned unconfirmed positive tests as well. So we're not sure whether the other two matches are going to go ahead as well. We'll have to wait and see. India beat Australia by 6 wickets in the second T20 international in Sydney to win that series with a game to spare. Chasing 195 to win. They reached their target with two balls remaining. Time now to say assalamu alaikum to my guest Siraj Gabriels. Thanks for joining me tonight on The Voice of the Cape.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, you can also join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions. Let's start off with your early days now. Where did you grow up? And I know you're chatting off air. We asked you which other sport you played. You said you played rugby. So it was rugby and cricket until you decided to take cricket, take it up full-time, if I can say. So tell us how that happened and where did you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Halfield Village, Claremont. How many? 67 years ago. Yeah, and I remember my earliest cricket games were in the street. I can't remember going to watch games. At that time, we didn't have TV. So basically, our former years in cricket was started in the street. In fact, about a month ago, we went to go to a historical tour of Halfield, and then Sheikh Ibrahim pointed out the drain where we used to bowl, and we had a lot of arguments and because they couldn't get me out. Anything that went past the bed was out.
Okay.
And then we had big arguments, and my father had to intervene a lot. Yeah. But very good times, nice times.
That must have brought back a lot of memories.
Very, very good memories, yeah.
But you also played rugby, you said, as well, until the injury put an end to your rugby career?
Yeah, I started late with rugby also. I was at school at Oaklands, so we played for the juniors for Lansdowne, in the City and Suburban Union. And then later on, I went to Tricolours in Western Province Union and had some good times. But I had to have a knee operation, and then my father told me, you must decide now between cricket and rugby. And then the choice was cricket.
Was it a difficult or easy choice?
It was easy choice. It was easy choice.
Okay, now you started off as an off-break bowler and eventually turned to leg spin.
Yeah.
Why did you make that change?
Because that time the team practices, you had 10 or 11 guys. You have minimum bowlers. And when you finish with your batting, I started off as an opening batsman. When you finish with your batting stint, then otherwise you have to go stand on the sideline. So you all took the ball. And then I started bowling off break. And then one day I decided I wanted to see if I can bowl a leg break, and then
so he just pitched in the right place and you continued.
It fell on a good place.
Let's start up with your club career first. Now, you played for quite a few clubs. Vineyards, you said to me. United, you were a United man. Primrose, you had a stint in Johannesburg with Vaal Vereniging. Talk us through some of those club highlights.
Vineyards, historically, when you were born in a certain family, you belong to a certain club. And like the Machits belong to Primroses, and we were Vineyards. And you were with that at that time, you didn't have a choice. You just had to go play there. But I played with, when I started off, I played with fantastic players. Sadiq Kunrat.
In the Vineyards team.
In the Vineyards team, Talib Behadin. There was a guy, Colin Joshua. He turned Muslim as Khalid Joshua now. I want to say, I don't know if he's listening. All the peace for him, because I believe he's not so well. And fantastic guys to play with.
And then from Vineyards, you moved on to United. Why the move? Because obviously it was a family set up with Vineyards, mainly family. Was it a difficult move to go to United?
No, what happened was, after Vineyards, before United, I went to Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. So I played for Vaal. So when I came back to Cape Town, the teams had to join forces, because there was too many clubs at that time. So the Vineyards was joined up to form United. So that's why we were attached to United.
And then why the move to Primrose? Because I believe we had quite a few cricketers here. Nazim White, we had Miley Biadin. Club cricket was huge. And the rivalries were even bigger. So why the move from United to Primrose? Because that would have been a rivalry on its own. Was it difficult to move? And why did you go to Primrose?
That's going to open a can of worms. I don't think we'll go there. It was a personal decision. At that moment, at that time, United was very strong, and I just felt that I need a new challenge. I need to find my way in a different environment, and I think that's why I went.
Was it easily accepted, or was it a battle to get?
It was. Some people call me a munafik. It was like one of the things you don't do. You don't go from one club to another club. But I was very welcome in Primroses, and I had an enjoyable time, but my home was with United, so afterwards I returned back to
United. You went back to United. Share some of your highlights with us, your club highlights, in terms of with United and Primrose, even in Vereniging.
There's a one game in Vereniging. We played against Potch. We scored 120, and Potch were 92 for one. And I asked the captain, let me bowl again. He was I've been bowling all the time, and I said, give the other guys a chance, and then let me bowl again. And then I brought up some of my Cape Town maniere. I bowled at this guy. He was a doctor, and I was bowling very well, but I couldn't get the wicket. I was turning past the bat, turning past the wicket and all. And then I pulled my big leg breaks, and I beat him. So I started chirping him. And I said, Doc, this is the ball, the red one that I got in my hand, yeah. And you could see he's working himself up, yeah. And then the next ball, I beat him again. So I said, Doc, just check your bet. Maybe there's a hole in there. Yeah. And then the third ball, I bowled, and then I thought I got him now, so I floated it up to him, and he went for the ball, and it just went over the mid on, yeah. And I told him, yes, you a doctor. You don't know what to eat. You must eat popcorn so you can have muscles. And the next ball, I got him. And then the next over, I took 6 wickets in the next over.
Wow.
And then the following over, I finished them off.
Wow.
And we pulled him out for 102. Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, so you psyched him out there.
I psyched him out, yeah.
Before we talk about your provincial career, yeah, what were your strengths as a leg spinner?
Yeah, I think my strength was my control.
Mm.
I could land it on the same place all the time, and if nothing works, I just go went back to the basics.
Were you a big turner of the ball?
I turned a lot, yeah.
And did you bowl the googly, the other one as well, often?
I bowled the other one. Yeah. I remember one game we played Western. I played for Transvaal, and I played for Western Province, or I played for Transvaal. And Rasad Masson was batting. And on 98, I got him LBW. And his father came to me, he said, and he praised me, and he said, look, at 98, he still couldn't read you.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really difficult.
That must have been the other one.
The other one.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, you made your debut for Transvaal.
Yes.
Against Western Province.
Yeah.
February 1978. That's a long time ago at Avonwood Park here in Cape Town. I just want to test your memory a little bit. Can you remember your scores in that match?
I didn't score much, but I know I took a lot of wickets.
Okay.
I took, yeah.
Okay, 6-1, by the way. You were run out in the first innings and bowled by M.R. Majid for one in the second innings.
Yeah.
And you're right, your bowling, you took 6 for 80 and 2 for 20. Now, that was a brilliant debut. What was it like playing against Province?
Yeah, it was, for me, it was exciting because I knew I could test myself. Because at that time, Province was really the best, and they had brilliant batsmen, so good bowling, it was a good test for me.
No,
it was a good place for me to find out where I am at that stage of my career.
Mm. But what made you make the move to Johannesburg? Was it work purposes?
It was work purposes, yeah.
Okay. And then obviously you came back to Province, I think, 81, 82, and then you played there until unification.
Yeah.
Let's look at your stats now before we take an ad break. And I'm doing some research, and your stats are fantastic. It's actually brilliant. 67 matches, you're the only Western Province player to do the double.
Yeah.
2,000 runs, 200 wickets.
Yeah.
2,161 runs, highest score of 101, not out. That was against?
Natal.
I think Natal in 84, 85, including 14 50s.
Yeah.
254 wickets, best of 88 for 53 against?
Natal.
Natal again. 5 wickets in an innings on 17 occasions. 10 wickets in a match 5 times. That is absolutely brilliant. Now, there's some more stats. Together with Mustafa Khan and Kaya Majola of Eastern Province, the three of you were the only players to complete the 2,000 runs and 200 wickets double. Yeah. Actually, you second on that all-time list of wicket takers in the history of the Hawa Bowl. I just want to get the... Vincent Barnes, of course, is leading, 304 wickets.
Yeah.
Siraj Gabriel's second, 254 wickets. Mustafa Khan, 248 wickets. Amin Jabbar, 233 wickets, another spinner.
Yeah.
Right? And Kaya Majola, 219 wickets. So that's a brilliant record. You must be proud of those achievements.
Yeah, I'm happy with what I achieved there. It was really hard work.
Mm.
One of my strengths was that I really worked hard in the nets.
Mm.
I would bowl to anyone. I bowled the whole night. If I finish my stint in the bat, we're batting, and then I'll bowl all night.
We're just going to take an ad break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Siraj Gabriels.
This is Inside Sports.
And I did it.
It's just gone 23 minutes past 8. Welcome back. You're listening to Inside Sport. We're chatting to the former Transvaal and Western Province all-rounder Siraj Gabriel. Now, just before the break, we're talking about the statistics, and I was going through some of his statistics. He's absolutely phenomenal, but we're going to touch a little bit on that and talk about some of these other players that Siraj played with. I just got a message coming through here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, walaikum salam. We're so proud of our beloved Abi Opa, our hero and inspiration. We love Abi Opa very much, from Abu Bakr, Aisha and the children.
Yeah.
Let's go back to club cricket. You mentioned something very interesting now, which we didn't discuss earlier. The day Nelson Mandela was released brings back lots of memories for you.
Yeah, that day I dedicated my innings to him, and one of the days I scored 100, and I was really proud of it.
Which club was that for?
It was Primroses against Bluebells.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was in the Premier League, yeah?
In the Premier League, yes.
Fantastic. Can you remember what you scored?
I scored 101 not out.
Wow.
Yeah.
But let's come back to these statistics. I mean, we've got in the top five, we've got one fast bowler and four spinners. You played with all of these guys.
Yeah.
Let's start from Vincent Barnes. Your thoughts on Vincent Barnes? You played with him.
Yeah.
How good was he?
Yeah, well, Vincent was phenomenal. He was very quick, very accurate, and very determined. Mm. Very vicious, very vicious, but a brilliant player. I'm so sorry. His period, his cricket career didn't coincide with unity.
That goes for most of you guys. You yourself, I mean, if you look at your record, doing the double wasn't easy. Only a few people did that. Leg spinner, brilliant statistics, all-rounder, hundreds, 50s. So had it been a level playing field, you could have had the opportunity to see if you could play at the high level. Not necessarily played, but you could have had a chance to show if you were could have done that. If you look back now, is that a regret?
The one regret I have is that I feel that I never reached the top of my ability. Because all the stuff that I did was basically out of my own skills. My own experiments and that. Never had any coaching. And I feel that if me, myself, and all these players there, if we had to have proper coaching, we would have been 30-40% better players.
Now, of course, I mean, I've spoken to various cricketers, and you didn't, like you said, you played street cricket.
Yeah.
They would have played street football or rugby, on sandy patches. Now, they didn't realize it at the time, but that was your coaching.
Because
that's all you did was play. There was no proper official formal coaching that they have now. Bowling coach, fielding coach, batting coach, physiotherapist, warm up, warm down. You guys never had all of that.
Never had that, yeah.
So playing on the streets with your family, with your friends, that was part of your teaching, your coaching. Am I correct?
That was our coaching, yeah. I remember my father was one of my biggest inspirations. Allah grant him high place in China, and my father's brother, Uncle Yusuf, a very good cricketer also, very stylish, like Sheikh Ibrahim. Sheikh Ibrahim was very good. He might have been a better player than me if he continued.
Okay.
But one day my father told me, that ball that you do, you can't see it now on the right. The ball that you play, like you defend, like if you just make it so.
Yeah, push
you
it.
You see how much runs he goes. But I couldn't understand, because the way my father told me, I couldn't grasp what he was meaning. Mm. But like that, if we had to have people that had to coach us, I don't know what would have happened there.
Yeah, many of you would have been. I mean, if you just give the example of Basil de Oliveira, right? That's one player that made it. Many others would have made it. Unfortunately, it was finances or whatever the reason was. They couldn't go overseas. Yeah. But if we just had to use an example of that from the same background, same setting, because you guys played on matching wickets. Basil played on matching wickets. Sandy outfield. Yeah. Yeah. And we know his history and whatever happened. So that is brilliant. Share some of your highlights, firstly, with Transvaal.
Yeah.
Because you made your debut for Transvaal before you came to Province. Let's hear about some of those highlights with Transvaal.
Yeah. Transvaal, the challenges were big because we weren't so strong. Well, basically what happened, I must tell you how I played in Transvaal. I worked at Sasol. So we worked from Monday till the next Friday.
Right.
Yeah. And then the Sunday that we were off, then for the whole 2 weeks, there's no practice. So The first time I touch a ball is when I come to the field.
To play.
And I played provincial games like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it was, like I said, if we had the same opportunities, a lot of things would have been different. I remember one particular game against Natal again.
Mm-hmm.
I had two good opening bowlers. They had this Compton and Rogers of that played for Free State. And in that game, I was on the field for the whole duration of the game. From the first ball up till the last ball, I was not that in both innings, and I think I took about eight or nine wickets.
All 3 days,
yeah. But that was for Transvaal against Natal. Yeah.
So you must have also been pretty fit to do that.
I could bowl the whole innings, yeah. And this is one thing advice I want to give to youngsters today. I was greedy.
Mm.
I was greedy to bat. I was greedy to bowl. I was greedy to feel. I am not always so happy to feel, but you must have that intensity.
Yeah.
And this is advice for the youngsters today. The sky's the limit. You must put the effort in.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What were your strengths as a batsman? We knew your strengths as a bowler. What were your strengths as a batsman?
In the beginning, from the back foot, bat shots was...
Pull, hook, cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I came out quite a few times hooking.
Mm.
And then my father told me to stop.
And of course, back then there was no helmets.
No helmets, yeah. And then I played from the back foot. Anything outside the off stump, you're gone.
Was that because of the conditions? Can you say the conditions, you guys? Because you mentioned matting, you'd have played on matting wickets. Of course, on matting, it's very difficult to play on the front foot.
Yeah.
When you play on a matting wicket, automatically it's back foot because you don't know how the ball is going to bounce.
Yeah.
Was that because of that automatically your game became a back foot game?
It did, yeah. And a lot of the, what's the name? When we converted to the turf wickets, we didn't have good turf wickets.
Mm.
We didn't have people that had a know-how of how to prepare wickets. So it was very, very
dangerous. It was just minimum.
It's dangerous to go forward because of what will someone pop up to your head.
Did you get any injuries, by the way, while batting? Any knocks?
I got one in a specific game, Western Province against Eastern Province. We played in the township, Swede Township in PE. And I tell you, after the first hour, there were so many holes in that pitch. It was really dangerous, really dangerous.
And the game still went on.
The game went on, yeah. And in the second innings, we had to score 150, 160 to win. And myself and Stuart Hendricks, we opened. And we took the score to 50 for no wicket. And then I pulled the ball, and the ball went into my nose and my eye. I went off the field. And I asked the manager, Rishi Majid was our manager. So in a short period, I think 3 or 4 hours, we lost 5 or 6 wickets. And then I tell Rishi, let's go to the hospital. He said, no hospital. He was a good bet. And I Sumba Walai, this eye was closed.
Mm.
This eye was closed, and the blood was streaming out of it. So I had to put tissues into my nose, and I had to turn my face this way and face with one eye. And myself and Reggie February, we took us to the winning score.
But that's just another example of the conditions, because nowadays, as soon as you get hit, you get the doctors or the physio running on the field. They do the tests, and but now, like you're saying, your manager said no hospital for you. You still have to go and bet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a tough time,
Obviously, coming back to Province, Sesh, some of your, of course, Province dominated.
Yeah.
We know in the Howard Bowl, Province, they won it most of the times, I think 8 times of the last 11 or something. So you guys really dominated. But for you personally, what were some of your highlights with Western Province?
I think for me, every game that I played for Province was a highlight. And I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed my cricket. I really enjoyed winning. It was nice. And the one thing that I'm just sorry about that we weren't tested much more than we were. A lot of things came too easy. Came too easy for us.
Why did you dominate? What would you say that put you guys, you know, ahead of the other teams? Because it was Transvaal, Eastern Province, Natal, and Western Province mainly. Yeah.
I think because of the local competition, I can say with confidence, there might have been another 20 guys that would have walked into the team
and it'll still be strong.
Still win the Howard Bowl. Yeah, there was really good players here, and the competition was very tough here. The club cricket was of high quality. Yeah,
I've got a comment here. I don't know if you want to answer this. Was Salam Sheikh Siraj, trust you well. Why does South Africa not have, in your opinion, a good left hand fast bowler like Brett Schultz?
Yeah,
you got a comment on that?
I'm not too familiar with what's happening in the bowling department in South Africa at the moment now, but I honestly feel that we're not broadening the scope enough for people. We don't want to open the doors for more people, and that is the problem, because we've got a limited amount of people that we need to select from, and with that, even they exclude some people, and I feel not enough is done for our non-privileged sport
players.
Yeah.
What was it like playing with some of the best players that, you know, played in the Howard Bowl? We only talk about Province alone. I mean, Said Majid, Vincent Barnes, Mansoor Abdullah, and that list goes on.
Yeah.
You guys had some tremendous players there. What was it like playing with those guys? Amin Jabbar.
Yeah. You know, a lot of them, it was a big motivation. The caliber of the players that we have always pushed you to higher levels. You had to compete, because otherwise you just fall by the
bar. Someone is waiting.
Yeah, someone's waiting. Yeah, and you had to compete all the time. Yeah,
and from other provinces, but there must have been some other players from other provinces that gave you a bit of a hard time or battled against. Does anybody comes to mind that, you know, you guys had some good battles against?
There was quite a few. It was
especially you now, for example, as a leg spinner.
Yeah.
Maybe someone who maybe gave you a bit of a hard time, you could battle to get him out or something like that?
Yeah. Yakub Umar comes to mind. I was always a nice bowling against him. Because, you know, he was a classical batsman, a very, very classical batsman. Harun Logat was one of the difficult guys to get out. There was a guy in Transvaal, I thought with unity he was going to make it, Nasir Dinda. There's quite a few, but I can't get to all the names now. Yeah.
Sure. And of course, after end every season, they'll select best of the SACP team versus the rest of the SACP.
Yeah.
And you've made that on quite a few occasions.
Yes.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was a nice honor.
So that was basically playing for South Africa.
Yeah.
Because other than that, you never had a country to play for.
Yeah.
It was just Western Province and that. It was love of the game, the passion.
Yeah.
But this was obviously stood out as a huge thing for you guys.
Yeah. It was a great initiative because at that time, all we could play was for Western Province. And they was always at longing for something better, something higher, and that was a nice initiative. Yeah.
How many times did you gain selection for those SACP teams?
Three times.
Yeah.
Three times. Yeah. In 87-88 season, I was elected as a captain.
Mm. So post Unity, Cricket South Africa handed green blazers to some of the SACP players, and you were one of them.
One of the recipients.
I'm going to ask you the question because we're going to go on an ad break now, and you can answer it when you come back. That must have been a huge honor. What did it mean for you? But you can think about that. We'll when we come back from the ad break, then we can get the answer.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back. 8:42, we're talking to Siraj Gabriels, the former Transvaal and Western Province all-rounder. Just before the break, I asked you, Cricket South Africa handed those green blazers to the former SACP players. What did it mean to you when you received, or when you were notified that you get that, and when you actually got it?
I felt it was as a reward for all my efforts, for all our struggles, because with all the fun we had, every game was a struggle because it was difficult. I remember playing for Transvaal. That time, to save money, cost money saving mechanism, Transvaal would come and play Eastern Province and Western Province December.
Yeah. One trip.
Yeah. And then we went by car.
Yeah.
We went by car from Joburg to PE. And when we were finished with the game in PE, we were supposed to come to Cape Town. And I know I bowled a lot that day, so I was sleeping and the guys drove. And they asked me, which is the next town? Are we in the right way? So they actually went on their way to Grahamstown. So I asked them, on what side is the sea?
Mm.
They were driving along the coast. Mm. The sea's on the right-hand side. So I said, no, we're wrong way. We must go south. The sea must be on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the difficulties we had. I remember we're staying in hotels.
Mm.
Then you can see this
not the best of hotels. I mean, in P, what was it? The Alabama?
Alabama. The cutlery that they take out, you could see this was laying there for years.
And I'm sure, didn't you guys also have families that hosted you guys at times as well?
The time that I played, we basically stayed in hotels. Yeah.
And in Durban, you remember the hotels you stayed at?
Yeah, we stayed.
Admiral?
Yeah, Admiral, and then... this and we played. One day we played in we stayed in Chatswood.
Mm.
I think Chatswood 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And then one evening when he got back from the hotel, from the game, from the field, oh, the guys were shooting gun in machine guns. and we left the hotel the same evening. We just packed up and said, no, we couldn't.
That was it.
Yeah.
Now, we got a comment here. Salam, Uncle Siraj. Was there a lot of rivalry between the districts? For example, my parents are from Claremont Draper Street, and you face United predominantly from the town region. Just a thought, I recall making the Perm six-a-side at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the rivalry was very big. I remember when I started playing, Vineyards played against Violets. My auntie's husband played at Violets, and I came to bat, and I was very young. I was 17 or 18, and I still greeted, and a man said, He sworn me scopet. And that was a rude awakening.
Yeah.
How in fact, my uncle, that is Uncle Ta'ahmad, when Vineyards used to play against Violets, for the whole week before the game, he does, don't come to our house.
Okay.
He don't come to our house. And he drops his wife on the corner.
Because of the game.
And
now if you beat them, then what happens the following week?
If we beat them, he don't come there for a whole month.
Okay, but if he wins, then he's there.
Then he comes, yeah.
Okay,
he comes,
yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome. Those rivalries are awesome. Did you play any cricket post-unification, or did you just hang up your boots? So you're better.
I played for United. I played a few games. I think I played two seasons after Unity. But at that time I was 40. I was 42. So I was past my peak. Yeah.
Okay, we got another comment here from Mohammed Yusuf Leila and Umu Kultum. We're enjoying hearing Abi's stories of back in the day. Thank you for contacting Voice of the Cape. So the people are enjoying listening to your stories.
Yeah.
But there's something that I'm sure many of the people didn't know was that you played for Transvaal before Western Province.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say post-unification was United. In terms of first class, did you get any opportunities, or was it just club cricket?
Just club cricket, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, at that stage, I was 42.
Oh, okay.
So, I was past my peak, yeah.
No, fantastic.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes before we take the final ad break. Let's talk about some of the grounds you played in. We're talking about, before we get to that, you were chatting to me, telling me about a story about Kaya Majola.
Yeah.
Now, not many people know that the late Kaya Majola was also a brilliant all-rounder, I mentioned earlier, from Eastern Province.
Yeah.
You want to share that with us?
Yeah, he was a fantastic batsman and a bowler. Very skillful. Same with Amin Jabbar and Mustafa Khan, very, very, very skillful players. And we were playing in Cape Town here. What's the place name? St. Augustine's Field.
Mm.
So we're battling.
Elfendale.
Yeah. We're battling to Kaya Majola open, and we're battling to get this wicket, so he batted till lunch.
Mm.
And then after lunch, we went up to the field, and then as he's coming on, I took a handful of sand and I threw it at the wicket, and I make like I'm pachang. And the second ball after the break, we got this wicket. And he was waiting for tea time for me to come off and to say, what did I do?
He saw you doing that.
So I purposely made it that he see me. I stood with the
So you most probably psyched him out there again.
Yeah.
Seems like that was one of your strengths again. We're going to take a break now, and then we come back and then we'll wrap up with Siraj Gabriels.
This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. This is on 8:51. You're listening to Inside Sport. I'm chatting to the former Transvaal and Western Province all-rounder Siraj Gabriels. Let's talk about Unity now. Obviously, Unity 1991. You were at the tail end of your career, of course. But let's talk about the facilities and the playing fields. Obviously, coming from the SACP era, the playing fields or the facilities you guys played under was so much different compared to South African Cricket Union side. Yeah. It was like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
How did you feel when that unity came upon? How did you guys?
Yeah. Firstly, I hope I'm not going to be controversial, but sometimes you need to tell the truth also. That I feel that the SACB officials at that time let our players down.
Mm.
The reason I tell this is that our last game against Natal again, the last game, SACB game, we were in the dressing rooms in Durban.
Mm.
The game was finished early. And we had a discussion with the manager of how we see the unification going the next year.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I personally asked the manager was to put forward that when the new season starts, our squad and the privileged squad must get the same opportunity to prepare for the season. That never happened. And then a promise was made to us that in the first 2 years there was gonna be no tours.
Mm.
And exactly the first week after the first game, South Africa went to India.
Yeah, and we know the makeup of the squad.
Yeah, yeah. But the point I want to make is that before unity, South Africa was isolated.
Mm.
But before the isolation, they were in contact with the international standards.
Mm.
They were open. And even after isolation, they were still in contact with the modern game. So all the involvement in the game, they were, and we were stagnated in ours. And I feel that was that. And the lack of facilities on our side was the cause that there was a gap. And then that tour made the gap even bigger, the first tour to India. And like I said, I feel that the officials let our players down because we had fantastic players.
Mm.
Ismail Bia,
absolutely.
Guys that could have made, if they had the opportunity, for Ike Davids, Ismail Bihadin, Dion Kim, Nazim White, Nolton Muller, like I said, Nazir Tinda, there's quite few guys in Transvaal and Andre Peters.
Yeah.
If they had to get the opportunity to adjust to also the officials when we were playing our cricket in the bubble, we were always led to believe that we're better than the guys on the other side, and I personally, I'm talking about myself, I also thought that I don't think we're better than the other side. I thought we were on par because you remember at that time we didn't watch them on TV. We couldn't go watch the games. So we like you know, if you watch sports on TV, it looks very simple.
Mm.
If you look at the football, you look. I can also do what Messi and all these guys do. I can do that, and we were given the picture that we are on
par. You get an equal opportunity because there was no difference in skill or talent. Yeah, it was the facilities that was a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you're absolutely right. Even if you look at that first team of 91, I know they took five David to St. Manak, but they never played a part.
They never played
played any games.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's... Yeah. I've got a question here from one of the listeners. Who was the fastest bowler Uncle faced?
Vincent Barnes openly come there. There was a guy, Armin Manuel, and there was a guy, Marcel September, and Vid Boy. Saeed Majid also. There's a guy that was very underrated, Ibrahim Damon, Baby Damon.
Mm.
Yeah, very, very good bowler.
And another one, Salam Bhutta Siraj. Pleasure listening to all these stories. In your opinion, who was the person you rivaled yourself against in a pure sporting way?
I always wanted to weigh myself up against the best in. Unfortunately, at that time, we only heard about the Sobers. We only heard about the
you didn't watch them.
You didn't see. So basically, for me, the biggest inspiration for me was the Talib Bihadin, Colin Joshua, people that played in my era. They were always the guiding light for me.
Who was your best captain before 1994?
1994, Saeed Majid.
Once a comment here, Baby Damon was our woodwork teacher at Oaklands. Alhamdulillah. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you quickly. Obviously, you, Province had two quality spinners, yourself and Amin Jabbar. I mean, he's also in the top five, yeah, with 233 wickets. Both of you were leg spinners, yeah, but different leg spinners.
Different leg spinners.
Just explain to us in terms of how different that is and for the benefit of the listeners.
Yeah. Amin Jabbar was more, he had an arm ball, mm-hmm, and he had and he would vary his flight and his lengths. Mm.
So he wasn't a big turner of
the ball. He wasn't a big turner of a ball, yeah.
Like, whereas
but
you
he was very consistent.
And accurate.
Like accurate, yeah.
Okay. And you were the turner of the ball.
Turner ball, and I had the wrong one.
Yeah. The other one. Just for out of curiosity, how often did you practice that wrong one?
Yeah.
Or did you just, you know, did he just come on match days, or did you spend time after time practicing that?
I spend a lot of time on it. This was one of the things also. You didn't want people to get too used to it, so you didn't want to bowl it too much.
Yeah. That was a surprise ball.
Yeah.
No, fantastic. Yeah. Siraj Gabriels, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining me tonight and chatting to us. All the best to you. Back home, I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back with more sporting news on the drive time from Monday to Friday from Ifiro Sheikh. Have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.